Hey, what is up? High ticket affiliate marketers, coaches, course creators, consultants, pretty much anyone that sells anything online. If you're wanting to scale your business to $5,000 per month, $10,000 per month, or as much as $20,000 plus per month, you're going to need a couple of skills. One of which is how to produce better offers. Another one is how to produce better content and better copywriting. Today I'm going to cover something, and it's really, really simple, and I think anyone that understands this particular concept is going to be able to attract more leads and sales in their content. Look forward to catching you guys right after this. All right, welcome back, guys, and thank you very much for joining me. If this is the first time here, I'd like to say an incredibly warm welcome to you. My name is Jamie Gardner, and over the last 12 years, I've been online as an affiliate marketer, CPA marketer, digital ad strategist, e-commerce store owner, you name it. I've pretty much done everything online at this point, or well, at least it feels like I have. And what I do now is really just help my students out. I've got over 900 students across two programs. I've won an award for surpassing $1 million in revenue through a single funnel, through ClickFunnels. And yeah, just basically talk about what I'm up to in my business, hopefully helping a few of you out along the way. Feel free to hit the subscribe button. And of course, if you want to go a little bit deeper on this journey with me, feel free to join my free Facebook group over at www.ultimateaffiliategroup.com. Whole bunch of stuff in there, including free files, templates, training, you name it. I go live a lot, blah, blah, blah. Go check it out. It's really awesome. www.ultimateaffiliategroup.com. All right. Today's episode is really about something incredibly simple. It's actually one sentence. And once you hear it, and once I dive into some of the particulars regarding that sentence, then you're going to be a better copywriter instantly. And over and above that, you're going to be able to craft better offers. And over and above that, you're going to help yourself become a better and savvier consumer along the way. Now, I'd love to say that I invented this particular sentence, but alas, I did not. So this is developed by a gentleman by the name of Blair Warren. Feel free to go check him out. I'm pretty sure it's blairwarren.com. And he wrote something in a book, and it's called The One Sentence Persuasion. Course, 27 words to make the world do your bidding. I know, what an incredibly bold claim. Now, I'm going to read you guys the sentence, and I'm going to break down some of the particulars regarding that and help a few of you out along the way. So the sentence is, people will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks at their enemies. I'm going to read that one more time. People will do anything for those who encourage their dreams, justify their failures, allay their fears, confirm their suspicions, and help them throw rocks in their enemies, or at their enemies, not in their enemies. And so what I wanted to do is really just unpack this particular sentence and each component of it and give you guys some frameworks to start thinking about this stuff and how you can start to deploy this in your own content, in your own copywriting, in your own offer creation, all that type of stuff, and positioning. So it's really interesting. So I'll start with the encouraging the dream. So I'll start at the beginning, funnily enough. There we go. That's a good place to start, isn't it? So when you are encouraging people's dreams, the language patterns that you're looking for in copy and that you like to use in order to bolster the dreams of people is a supportive attitude. You can do it. Let's go on a mission together. Using things like testimonials. Anytime you see testimonials, it adds social proof. And the more varied the testimonials are from a broader and wider range of audience members, the more your audience is going to start seeing themselves as those people getting those results, right? If you're going on a mission together, then it's like you're linking arms with someone. You're like not going at it alone. You're going on a mission with your mentor. They've already been down that pathway. They're actually just leading you by the hand down that pathway before you, right? Kind of cool. Supportive attitude, like say, you can do it. It's that type of thing. The implication that something is easy or simple, because you really want to lower the barrier of entry for folks when you're going through your copy. And of course, if you say, hey, you know, you can do it, let's go on a mission together, and there's a bunch of testimonials, then you say, hey, this is really freaking hard, no one achieves the great success that is being promised, then of course it raises the bar in terms of the barrier of entry, meaning that less people will actually absorb that, right? Now, having said that, interestingly enough, I'm very transparent with my marketing, and what I will often tell people before they're about to join my flagship program, that's Ultimate Marketing Mastermind, you can go check out the free case study for that, www.ultimatemarketingmastermind.com, go check it out, see if that's of interest. But what I tell people is, like, don't buy the hype, right? There's so much hype in the online marketing industry. It's easy. I made, you know, $100 million in the last 72 seconds. All I did is put out a 3-second video and it's a copy and paste template, blah, blah, blah. And that's the thing, right? So therefore, a lot of the time people set a false expectation for themselves because, of course, as marketers, we know what trigger points to hit for people, right? We know that putting out testimonials of people that are in the program that are getting results that look, feel, and act like our ideal clientele is going to help them believe they can also get similar results, right? I, on the other hand, I take a slightly different approach. I don't tell people it's easy. I say this stuff is incredibly hard. I say it'll probably be one of the hardest journeys you go on in your life and in a lot of ways. It's not as hard as, you know, perhaps being at war or whatever, but it is hard from a mindset perspective. It's harder than what the sales material makes out, all that type of stuff. Now, the reason I do that is quite simply because I don't want people to jump into my program, the Ultimate Marketing Mastermind, with a set of false expectations. I don't want them to go in there going, hey, you know, it's been a week, I haven't made $10,000, why the heck not? Now, of course, and as a contradiction in terms, I have outliers. I have people that have come through that have absolutely demolished it, 10K in 49 days without any running start at all, no audience, nothing. Had other people that have surpassed $50,000 in 4 months from scratch, right? Like, there's some incredible results that have come from it. So I do back the content that is in the actual training itself. But like I say, I'm very realistic. Now, why would I do that? If I'm trying to encourage people's dreams, because I want to push away the people that have a false expectation. I want to push away the people that buy into that kind of crappy hype, because they're not my people. I can't help them. And I know that they're probably going to be asking for a refund in the next 10 minutes anyway, right? So that's the exception. Hopefully that will make sense. Now, circling back to the idea of going on a journey together, especially if you're about to undertake something that is relatively new for you, if you're perhaps a coach and your students are looking to get some guidance on whatever it is, they don't want to feel like they're left alone. They want to make sure that they have help along the way. And so that's why when you're using this inclusive type language, it helps to, like I say, encourage their dreams. Now, the other part of it is the justification of failures. And as much as we would love to be able to go out there and say, you know what, yes, it was all on me, I am completely responsible for my own failures and whatnot, a lot of the time, people just don't want to take that responsibility. Like, we just don't. It's human nature. A lot of the time, we're looking to place blame on others around us. And whilst I don't agree with that, I don't think it's the way to go, and I think any successful person will tell you that one of the keys to success is actually to take extreme levels of responsibility for yourself, which I must confess is not always easy. You know, sometimes it feels like things are a little bit helpless. So I completely understand what that's like. But having said that, if you follow that process and you were to go down that way of thinking, then you're falling into victim mentality. And unfortunately, because people like to have some sort of justification for their own failings and the shortcomings without having to take full 100% responsibility, then of course it's a very persuasive way to view things. Right, so let's break that down a little bit more. So if you recall the scene out of Good Will Hunting and with Matt Damon and the late Robin Williams, and Robin Williams basically takes his glasses off and he looks him dead in the eyes and he stares at him, and with a stoic look on his face, he says, "It's not your fault." And Matt Damon's character says, "I know." Robin Williams' character, "It's not your fault." And he keeps repeating this mantra, and you can feel the emotion coming out of both characters until they eventually embrace. Now, of course, if you are implying that in your copy, like, listen, it's not entirely your fault. Like, yeah, you may have failed now, but you haven't failed unless you quit. But I'm here to tell you that it's not entirely your fault that you failed in the first place. Right? These types of language patterns are really, really, really powerful, because then people start to accept, like, okay, yeah, it was a short-term setback. That thing didn't work as anticipated, but, you know, there's something else. It's not entirely my fault. And that is the case with a lot of things in the online marketing industry. There's a lot of folks that have got zero experience that are out there charging astronomical amounts of money to people, unsuspecting victims, I would call them, for teaching stuff that they've just picked up secondhand without actually going through the trial and error of the true entrepreneurial way, which is, you know, absorbing some information, going out and trying it, seeing what works, finding your own voice, finding your own frameworks, things like that. Anyway, and time in the trenches, of course. The other way to do this is you can imply that perhaps the people have been lied to, right? It's really powerful. Like, listen, you know, the gurus, they've got their secrets. They lied to you. You know, that Jamie guy, don't listen to him. He's, you know, sold millions of dollars worth of stuff. Like, you know, he's been lying this whole time. You know, here's him saying that it's really easy online and blah, blah, blah. Or perhaps the opposite, where he's telling you that it's really hard. It's actually really super simple. All you need is my special framework. Give me $5,000 and I'll show you. Like, you know, hopefully you guys kind of understand where I'm going with this stuff. Another one is the fact that people don't necessarily like to face things on their own. And so what I mean by that is, like, if you're in isolation, you're the one that's outside of the tribe, so to speak, doing something significantly different, then a lot of the time people can feel really small and isolated. So if you're able to sort of say, listen, you know, as part of the justification of failure, it's like, hey, you know what? You're not alone. Like, a lot of us have been through that. I went through that, blah, 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 down the street went through that. You know, old Aunt Betty went through that same thing as well. We're all in this together. We completely get what you mean, what you feel. It's okay. You know, come around, let's all have a big hug and we'll figure it out together type stuff. Another way to put that is you're not the only one that's gone through that. And again, it's that implication of like, hey, in order to create success in this game, you need to have done some stuff. And sometimes when you go through that stuff, like as a lot of the greats, the successful people have, not everything's going to work out exactly how you want it to be the first time round. Another way is the missing piece could be the catalyst for, right? This one missing piece could be the catalyst for. Basically meaning that, you know, the justification of the failure is that you're just missing this one tiny little element of the overall puzzle in order to actually blow up your business or whatever, right? The other way to put it is leveraging something called sunk cost fallacy. Sunk cost fallacy. Now, what that means is that people, when they have invested in themselves, right, they're invested in a hobby, or they've invested in their own health, or whatever, they have a large amount of emotional equity in that, purely by virtue of the exchange that they have had. If they've put a lot of money into it, they create a sense of kind of like a can't quit attitude behind that. And so if you're able to sort of imply, like, you know, people have done well, that have invested tons of money in blah, blah, blah. And again, I don't like taking that angle because it's sort of, I find it somewhat manipulative. But there is some truth to it as well in terms of, I guess it's persuasive efficiency. So allay their fears. How do we allay their fears? By removing the mental barrier of entry. Removing the mental barrier of entry. So, for example, you might want to imply the simplicity of something. It's simple. It's easy. Even my grandma can do it. How many times have you read that on a sales page or you have heard that? Even my four-year-old toddler can do it. And it's that thing where, if a four-year-old can do it, then what's my excuse? If a grandma who's never picked up a computer before can do it, what's my excuse, right? So therefore, it helps to elevate that person's individuality based on where they are in their life and their perception of those around them. but also minimizes their fears. Like, hey, you know, even if this person who's never even heard of computers before can go and do it, then surely you can go out there and do it as well, right? And again, this is the kind of a similar vein as what we're talking about before, the justification of failures, which is, it's not entirely your fault. It's not entirely your fault. It's another way to put it. The other way to do that is through things like warranties and guarantees and refunds. Now, of course, if you're an affiliate marketer, you can't necessarily control what happens on the cart page. That's not up to you. It's up to the product vendor. What you can do, though, as part of your offer creation, is look for ways that you can minimize and mitigate any risk for the actual buyer themselves. Another way you can put that is, look, you won't be left alone. We're going to go on this journey together. You can even throw a rock in some ways by saying, you know, won't be left alone, unlike some other programs out there. one way to put it. Just be very mindful with this stuff. I'll get into the rock throwing stuff in a moment. Me personally, I don't do a heck of a lot of that, and I'll sort of explain why, and I'll explain how I actually throw rocks. Another one is, can this really work for me? Right? So basically what you're doing is you're putting the fears on the table, right? So you're thinking about, okay, well, if they have that thing, maybe it's okay just to label it straight away. Can this really work for me? And then you go down to some bullet points. Well, if you're like many of my students, or if you're like I was, or if you're like so many of the folks I run into online, then it's that thing of like the implication that other people have experienced, that other people have got results after doing X, Y, Z, which is really powerful. Another one, especially in my space, what I'm doing with Facebook groups and whatnot, like I'm very fortunate, I've got some incredible students and some of them have gone out and done some ridiculously amazing things. One of which, I think he had like $4,300 worth of deals. He only had like 43 members in his group, for example. Might have even been less than that, might have been like 38 members, whatever, it was pretty small. Another one who surpassed $10,000 in revenue. Less than 100 people in a group. Like, you don't need a huge following. And so that was one way that I'm allaying someone's fears. You know, you don't need a big audience. The cool thing is you don't need a huge following or any following at all if you're just starting out. It's one of the things that I use. To confirm their suspicions, we all have that thing in our mind where we have a suspicion that we're missing something. And a lot of the time, people will pay someone a large sum of money to find out what the secrets are. And as marketers, of course, we know that this is a trigger point for people. It's why you often see on sales pages and sales material and emails, you know, the secret formula has been held for blah, blah, blah. Now, with the advent of Russell Brunson and ClickFunnels and the fame that he's now produced for himself, the secret has been let out. There is a lot of content out there that implies the secret. It's almost like the most overused word in marketing at the moment, but still very effective. And so you can also do it in other ways. Did you ever feel there was something not quite right? Use that type of sentence. Did you ever feel there was something not quite right? Now, what is happening from a subconscious basis is that person reading that as part of a broader context of words, of course, is going to automatically start to answer that question, even in their own mind. So it's really powerful. Another one is maybe something felt missing. And so the implication here is that you're planting that seed just by asking a question. Because if someone's not getting the results that they expected, then of course the assumption is, for most of us at least anyway, oh, there must be something missing. Either I'm doing something wrong or there's something missing in the program, or the solution isn't the right one for me, right? So therefore, purely by asking that question, sometimes you're triggering that emotional response from people for them to actually search those answers for themselves, rather than you going, hey, did you try this program? Here's why it sucks, which is obviously not really what you want to do. Another one, and this is kind of falling back into what we're talking about before, some of the other ones, which is the... That is more in relation to the justification of failures, is that the same thing again, is they lied to you. They lied to you. Those gurus, I tell you what, those fat Wall Street cats, whatever they are, they lied to you. And again, same sort of principle here, you're not alone. Another one that you might have heard is those gurus don't want you to know. You know, let me guess, some guru told you to do X, Y, Z, and you went out and did it, and it didn't work. He's a terrible person. Buy my stuff. Like, probably seen a dozen of these. I know, certainly have. Another thing you can do is, and I'm going to go slightly off topic here, but this is quite an important one. But if you're writing out a sales page, for example, and you put a really bold headline, and so the bold headline is like, how to make $1 trillion in the next 35 seconds without doing any work, even if you're a couch potato, right? Like a big, stupid, like almost massive bold promise. Now, what happens is it's appealing purely by nature of how big the promise is, if it's something that is targeting your particular situation and pain point. But immediately, what happens is if it's too good to be true, then the trust factor drops immediately, right? Trust factor is like, whoa, hang on, man, that's a bold claim there. Don't know about that one. And so, what you can do is a couple of things. One is it's called a damaging admission. Now, damaging admission would be, but if you've never done anything online before, you don't know how to use computers, this probably isn't for you. Likewise, if you are a complete couch potato and you don't want to get off and stop being a couch potato, this really isn't for you. Blah, blah, blah. And so what you're effectively doing is you're pushing away the people that you can't serve, but you're also building back up the trust because then you're like not saying, hey, yo, I don't know your situation. This may not be the right thing for you. This is going to take a ton of work. So if you're not prepared to put that in, this definitely is not going to be for you, right? And so therefore it's like, oh, okay, yeah, of course these are achievable, but you know, results aren't typical and blah, 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 right? So you start building that out. Now the other way is something slightly different, and it's more of a longer-winded technique, and you probably wouldn't use it in this particular context, but I'll talk you guys through it. It's called negative strip lining. Negative strip lining. Now, negative strip lining would be, for example, where I, as part of my overall business strategy, like I say, I build personal brands, build Facebook groups. There's an art form to the monetization strategies behind those. And so if I was to say, look, you know, hey, if you've got an audience of at least 100 people, I can help you make $10,000 to $20,000. But it's not going to work for everyone. If you've got a whole bunch of freebie seekers in your group or people that you've never communicated with and you don't have any engagement, this probably isn't going to be the right pathway for you. So I could do something like that as well. Now, what I would take as part of the negative strip lining is I would then take that to the nth degree. So therefore, you know, here's the top 17 reasons why you shouldn't work with Jamie. Number one, he gets results. Like if you are really afraid of failure, that's cool. This is going to work out. But so many people have an undiagnosed fear of success. And so if you are fearful of success, then this really isn't the pathway. And Jamie certainly can't help you out because there's a high probability you will see success on the other side of it. Now, notice what I did with that particular sentence as well. Now, clearly, I'm just making stuff up off the top of my head. Well, hopefully, that's obvious. But here's the thing. I put what is effectively a negative, but I turn that into a positive, right? Because my track record is so good that a lot of people, when they come into my Ultimate Marketing Mastermind program, they've failed before and they start seeing success. And so, a lot of people, a lot of students that I deal with, as subtle as it may seem, people say that they have a fear of failing. A lot of people are actually more afraid of success because when they become successful, when they start making money, and they realize it's actually a little bit easier than they anticipated, and it can be quite an alarming feeling when you've had a $900, $1,000, $5,000, $10,000 a day, which is far surpassing what you've earned before in the previous world as an employee. A lot of people, they start to feel really insecure about that and it bubbles up all these things for them. So, like I say, it's just a way to kind of take it down that pathway and basically kind of like turn a negative into a positive, basically. Another way that you do that, and you'd probably go to the nth degree, right? Like I say, let's say 17 ways that you know, reasons why you shouldn't work with Jamie as part of the Ultimate Marketing Mastermind, he's going to get your results. It's going to take some work. If you're wanting just a free system that involves no investment, no self diagnosis, no having to address all the bullshit you've got in your own head, this definitely isn't for you. You're going to come out the other side as a completely changed marketer with the techniques that not only do we deploy as part of our marketing, but also from a mindset perspective as well. Another reason is If you want complex systems, this definitely isn't for you, because this is all really, really simple about building a Facebook group, starting from scratch, not having any automations or any weird stuff in place that is going to slow down your progress. What we're doing here is really just the raw fundamentals of sales, marketing, offer creation, which completely transcends every platform. Doesn't matter what platform you're on, it's going to transcend that. We'll just use Facebook groups as the immediate mechanism. Number four, bubble up, right? And so I'll just go through that list and list out all the reasons why you wouldn't want to work with me. Now, sounds incredibly counterintuitive, but the reason why you do that, like I say, number one is trust. But then once you've outlined and you've labeled all the potential negatives in the perceived and perhaps some of the ones that aren't perceived by that person yet, then the only thing left is the positive. The only thing left is the actual positive, you know, but here's what we've got, right? So you're putting that out like full open kimono. Here's what I've got. What do you think? Blah, blah, blah. If you do decide to work with me, here's what you can expect, right? And so you've been incredibly transparent along the way. So there's no false expectations. You end up with great buyers as a result. And it obviously helps with conversions overall as well. Now, last part of it. Help them throw rocks at their enemies. And again, there's a little bit of a crossover with some of the stuff here. Number one, they lied to you. The gurus, they're damn gurus again. They lied to you. They held all their secrets and then they only sold you a tiny little piece of the secret, not the full secret. You can also go through the shortcomings of process. So for example, and like I say, there's a certain irony with me talking about this stuff, but I tell my students, don't start with a funnel. When you are looking at funnel builders, you're going into ClickFunnels, you're going into whatever else is out there, and you're diving into the software and you're trying to glue it all together, and then weeks later you emerge from your bat cave and you've finally got this funnel sitting there. And the truth of the matter is, none of that is actually building your business. It's just a tool to automate certain elements of your sales process. But if you don't understand why certain things are happening prior to that, then it's completely pointless, right? And that is often the case, which is why the attrition rate with some of these types of things is very, very high, unless they are a profitable functioning part of your overall business. So I take the opposite approach. I say, listen, learn how to go find someone, help them out, provide a solution, sell them something of high ticket value, learn how to do that, get confident doing that, understand the mechanics and the psychology behind that, then add on your funnels, then add on your automations, then do all that stuff, because A, you're going to have cash flow for starters. Secondly, it's going to make the whole process that much easier from a psychological basis for most people. And of course, there's outliers to this. It's just my preferred route for most people. And so one of the things I'll do is I will address the shortcomings of process. So if we're talking about funnels, I'll say, you know, hey, they can be quite complex for some people. And it's, you know, annoying when tech just doesn't work. It just really is frustrating when technology just doesn't work. Also cover things like autoresponders. Of course, an email list is like an absolute goldmine if you do it right. But I also think it's an added layer of complexity. And a lot of people just become addicted to this idea of, oh, I'll just get a done for you 30-day sequence and I'll make a whole bunch of cash, which just is usually pretty far from the truth. Things like solo ads. Yeah, look, sometimes they work. I've actually, funnily enough, I met one of only three people I've ever met who's been able to buy them successfully and grow a list and make them very profitable from buying them. Most people that I meet who are dealing in solo ads, they make money through selling them. And that should be a massive warning for you, because then when you ask, oh, well, aren't you an affiliate? Oh, yeah, I'm totally an affiliate. But they're not. They're absolutely not. They're lying. And so they basically just sell these solo ads, 80 cents a click, 60 cents a click, whatever it is, right? And they take an arbitrage off it. And a lot of the time, they're bot traffic, or they are people from third world countries that get paid, you know, 2 to 3 cents to opt in. They'll never read an email anyway. And then sometimes even what they might do is they might even go through the funnel themselves and buy a low ticket front end product for like $7 just to show, hey, look, I've got buyers coming out of my thing. Like, it's such a dodgy industry, if you ask me. That's me throwing rocks at a process. See, I'm throwing rocks at my own enemies. Gurus. So a lot of people, as soon as you start having any level of success, I don't think of myself as a guru. One of my students has nicknamed me Professor, which I find very endearing, but I think it's very far from the truth. But at the same time, I'm quite aware of the fact that the bigger my brand grows, the more people may decide to label me as that. And I can see it all the time. They literally, like, I'll go through my news feed on Facebook and I'll have certain things where people have either plagiarized my copy or they have gone through my process and then they will go and write content about why they think it doesn't work, which is just completely stupid because the whole thing does work and it always will work. Or they go out there and they imply that what I've taught them hasn't actually helped them at all. Or they'll imply that, you know, the techniques that I deploy are, you know, well outdated nowadays and blah, 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 which is, again, is completely false. Like I teach stuff that is rooted in human psychology. And unless that evolves rapidly over the next, you know, generation, then it's going to stay as true as it is today as it will be in, you know, 100 years time type of stuff. But again, it's a way of creating a sales angle and a marketing angle. I've even had students that I've helped, literally helped on Zoom, in my DMs. I've sent them voice clips. I've given them access to stuff that I really shouldn't have in terms of my own products and without them purchasing and all sorts of things, only for them to turn around and then slander me publicly. Like you have to have pretty thick skin once you start building a bit of a brand at times, but it's cool. I kind of like it. But anyway, what they're doing is they are trying to sell something, and it's usually a product that is in competition with what I offer. And so because I've taught people how to sell stuff, they will take the concept of how to sell stuff to then sell their own things rather than just being an affiliate. And that's fine. Look, that is kind of where I want everyone to go, but it just, you know, it's something that is pretty common these days to throw rocks at the enemy. And apparently I've become the enemy, which is really ironic. When you use terms like they, it sort of implies that, you know, that there's this sort of entity out there that is nefarious and it's out to get you. And it's because they didn't want you to know. And so because of that, when you're using it in a copy basis, it goes into the confirmed suspicions part, but it also is the throwing rocks at the enemy thing as well. And you can also attack specifics in content. And so one of the ones that I don't really do it that much. I think when you go to attack throwing rocks at your enemies being, for example, another competing program, if you're in the high ticket affiliate space, or you're throwing rocks at, say, other marketers, for example, I think it's not good karmically, I think, for starters. But then I also think, you know, there's so much that people, like, in the interest of getting cash flow, they will betray what has actually got them that cash flow in the first place in order to get more of it. And I find it quite alarming. But one thing I do is I don't think it's rock throwing, but it probably could be perceived as this, is I talk about the shortcomings of certain business models. And I think that's a better way of going about it anyway. It's more sustainable. And so one of the things I do throw rocks at is ascension models. So that is, for example, where you've got a low ticket front end offer, you know, $7, $12, whatever it is. And you're either going through a funnel with OTOs and different things, blah, blah, blah. So that's one way, as in it ascends, of course. Or the other way is quite simply where you have a front end offer of like $5, $10, $2, you know, $100, whatever it is. And then the ascension is to the next level. So it's like a 5K coaching. And the model works exceptionally well, by the way, if you're a coach or, you know, consultant or anything like that. If you're selling a low ticket front end, you give a disproportionate amount of value up front. It means that your conversion rates to the back end are going to be higher as well. And you're also dealing with a pool of buyers as opposed to just random people who've just seen a webinar or whatever it is, right? So there is, I guess, merit in that approach. But one thing to bear in mind is that if you're an affiliate on one of these types of programs, you'll understand that the ascension rate is usually relatively low. We're talking like between 4 and 8% of the people that buy the front end offer will eventually ascend to the back end, which is fine. But then you got to think about the mathematics behind that. If you're aiming for $10,000 per month, and we go conservatively and just say it's 4%, ascension rate, then for every 100 front-end sales, you're making approximately 4 high-ticket sales on the back end. And of course, the product vendor doesn't care. They're like, great, well, you know, this is awesome. I'm now making that much. And obviously, that's probably not the only affiliate that's sending traffic there as well, type thing. And so that's where those models tend to fall down, in my opinion. And of course, there are outliers. There are people that are absolutely crushing it with those types of things, which then keeps selling that idea that it works for everyone. But I was always of a cautious mind when it comes to that style. Anyway, I say all this because this is the type of stuff that you can start to put in your content, which will then look to polarize your audience. And in doing so, you're going to push away people that you can't serve and draw closer to you the people that are resonating with how you communicate and your messaging overall. So anyway, that's it. Just wanted to put that out there. That is the one sentence persuasion for better offers, sales, and copy. Thank you very much, Blair Warren, for producing that. Hopefully you guys got some value out of this. If you do, feel free to hit subscribe. And of course, go check out my free Facebook group over at www.ultimateaffiliategroup.com. Catch you guys over there and see you in the next one. Cheers.